This is the Poetry Foundation's Essential American Poets podcast. Essential American Poets is an online audio poetry collection. The poets in the collection were selected in 2006 by Donald Hall when he was poet laureate. Recordings of the poets he selected are available online at poetryfoundation.org and poetryarchive.org. In this edition of the podcast, we'll hear poems by Ivor Winters. Ivor Winters was born in Chicago in 1900 and grew up in California. He attended the University of Chicago briefly before being diagnosed with tuberculosis. He relocated to a sanitarium in Santa Fe to recover and published his first poems during that period. In the early 20s, Winters taught elementary and high school in the coal mining towns of Madrid and Los Cerrillos, New Mexico. In 1926, he married Janet Lewis, a poet and novelist who had also suffered tuberculosis. He taught French and Spanish in Idaho before entering the doctorate program at Stanford University, which he completed in 1934. Winters' early work was free verse, influenced by imagism and Native American poetry. His poetry began appearing in small magazines alongside avant-garde modernists of the time. By mid-career, however, Winters had reoriented his poetry significantly. He abandoned free verse entirely and took up the formal austerity with which he is associated today. Winters' legacy is due in large part to his role as a critic and instructor to younger poets at Stanford, where he was a member of the English department from 1928 until his death. His critical approach was controversial. Winters believed that art and moral judgment went hand in hand, and he saw formal balance as a sign of ethical grounding. He wasn't shy about offering harsh critiques of writers from Henry James to Hart Crane. Many found his interpretations narrow and dogmatic, yet even some of his most negative reviews made for highly engaging readings of the literature he condemned. Poet Hayden Carruth once said, "I admire Winters and what he has done for American literature. There's no one like him for making a simple declarative sentence crackle under your eyes like a burning apple bough. Such magnificent wrath." Winters remained at Stanford until 2 years before his death from throat cancer in 1968. His students included the poets Tom Gunn, Donald Hall, Robert Pinsky, and Robert Haas. The following five poems were recorded at Stanford University in California in 1945.
Much in little. Amid the iris and the rose, the honeysuckle and the bay, the wild earth for a moment goes in dust or weed another way. Small though its corner be, the weed will yet intrude its creeping beard. The harsh blade and the hairy seed recall the brutal earth we feared. And if no water touch the dust in some far corner, and one dare to breathe upon it, one may trust the specter on the summer air. The risen dust, alive with fire, the fire made visible, a blur interate, the pervasive ire of foxtail and of whorehound burr. The Journey, Snake River Country. I now remembered slowly how I came, I sometime living, sometime with a name, creeping by iron ways across the bare wastes of Wyoming, turning in despair, changing and turning till the fall of night, then throbbing motionless with iron might. 4 days and nights, small stations by the way sunk far past midnight, nothing one can say names the compassion they stir in the heart. Obscure men shift and cry, and we depart. And I remembered with the early sun that foul-mouthed barber back in Pendleton, the sprawling streets, the icy station bench, the roundup tenants, the latrinal stench. These towns are cold by day, the flesh of vice, raw and decisive, and the will precise. At night, the turbulence of drink and mud, blue glare of gas, the dances dripping blood, fists thudding murder in the shadowy air, exhausted whores sunk to a changeless stare. alive in empty fact, alone, extreme, they make each fact a mortuary dream. Once, when the train paused in an empty place, I met the unmoved landscape face to face. Smoothing abysses that no stream could slake, deep in its black gulch crept the heavy snake. The sound diffused and so intently firm, it seemed the silence, having change nor term. Beyond the river, gray volcanic stone, in rolling hills, the river moved alone. And when we started, charged with mass and slow, we hung against it in an awful flow. Thus I proceeded until early night, and when I read the station's name aright, descended at the bidding of a word. I slept the night out where the thought occurred, then rose to view the dwelling where I lay. Outside the bare land stretching far away, the frame house, new, fortuitous, and bright, pointing the presence of the morning light. A train's far screaming, clean as shining steel, planing the distance for the gliding heel. Through shrinking frost, autumnal grass uncurled, in naked sunlight on a naked world. Sir Gawain of the Green Knight. Reptilian green the wrinkled throat, green as a bough of yew the beard. He bent his head, and so I smote. Then for a thought my vision cleared. The head dropped clean, he rose and walked. He fixed his fingers in the hair. The head was unabashed and talked. I understood what I must dare. His flesh cut down arose and grew. He bade me wait the season's round, and then when he had strength anew to meet him on his native ground. The year declined, and in his keep I passed in joy a thriving Yule, and whether waking or in sleep, I lived in riot like a fool. He beat the woods to bring me meat. His lady, like a forest vine, grew in my arms, the growth was sweet, and yet what thoughtless force was mine. By practice and conviction formed, with ancient stubbornness ingrained, although her body clung and swarmed, my own identity remained. Her beauty, lithe, unholy, pure, took shapes that I had never known, and had I once been insecure, had grafted laurel in my bone. And then, since I had kept the trust, had loved the lady yet was true, the knight withheld his giant thrust, and let me go with what I knew. I left the green bark and the shade, where growth was rapid, thick, and still. I found a road that men had made, and rested on a drying hill. John Sutter. I was the patriarch of the shining land, of the blonde summer and metallic grain. Men vanished at the motion of my hand, and when I beckoned, they would come again. The earth grew dense with grain at my desire. The shade was deepened at the springs and streams. Moving in dust that clung like pillared fire, the gathering herds grew heavy in my dreams. Across the mountains, naked from the heights, down to the valley, broken settlers came, and in my houses feasted through the nights, rebuilt their sinews, and assumed a name. In my clear rivers, my own men discerned the motive for the ruin and the crime. Gold heavier than earth, a wealth unearned, loot for 2 decades from the heart of time. Metal, intrinsic value, deep and dense, preanimate, inimitable, still, real but an evil with no human sense, dispersed the mind to concentrate the will. Grained by alchemic change, the humankind turned from themselves to rivers and to rocks. With dynamite broke metal unrefined, measured their moods by geologic shocks. With knives they dug the metal out of stone, turned rivers back for gold through ages piled, drove knives to hearts and faced the gold alone. Valley and river ruined and reviled. Reviled and ruined me, my servant slew, strangled him from the fig tree by my door. When they had done what fury bade them do, I was a cursing beggar, stripped and sore. What end impersonal, what breathless age, incontinent of quiet and of years? What calm catastrophe will yet assuage this final drouth of penitential tears? Time and the garden. The spring has darkened with activity. The future gathers in vine, bush, and tree, persimmon, walnut, loquat, fig, and grape, degrees and kinds of color, taste, and shape. These will advance in their due series, space the season like a tranquil dwelling place, and yet excitement swells me vein by vein. I long to crowd the little garden, gain its sweetness in my hand, and crush it small, and taste it in a moment, time and all. These trees whose slow growth measures off my years, I would expand to greatness. No one hears, and I am still retarded in duress. And this is like that other restlessness, to seize the greatness not yet fairly earned, one which the tougher poets have discerned. Gascoigne, Ben Jonson, Greville, Raleigh, Donne, poets who wrote great poems, one by one and spaced by many years, each line an act through which few labor, which no men retract. This passion is the scholar's heritage, the imposition of a busy age, the passion to condense from book to book, unbroken wisdom in a single look. Though we know well that when this fix the head, the mind's immortal, but the man is dead.
That was Ivor Winters, recorded at Stanford University in California in 1945, and used by permission of Ohio University Press. You have been listening to the Essential American Poets podcast, produced by the Poetry Foundation in collaboration with poetryarchive.org. To learn more about Ivor Winters and other essential American poets, and to hear more poetry, go to poetryfoundation.org.